We'll get that 70 up to 80 and 80 up to 90, 90 maybe up to 100 or better. All right. Celebrating Christmas. Right around the corner. Busy time of year, is it not? It's going to go faster. Celebrating Christmas the right way. I wonder, do we really celebrate Christmas the right way? I've been thinking about that a whole lot, and I begin to read these verses of Scripture. John chapter 12, verses 12 through 26. But really in these verses of Scripture, he's talking about Christmas in one way of speaking, but there's a parallel that we like to look at tonight because Jesus Christ is speaking about the Passover. And I love Christmas, and I love Christmas season, don't y'all? I mean, it's a family time. It's just a good time of the year. From Thanksgiving on, I just love it. Christmas time, remember the birth of our Lord. And you know, pressure gets on us this time of year, don't it? I'm going to tell you, all type of pressure, during this Christmas season. Then, you know, then a new year comes along. After Christmas, you know, then it's new year and all these pressures that we have to go through. And I make these new year resolutions, and I'm going to lose weight after eating all that stuff. And I'm really going to start exercising. I'm really going to start walking. I'm really going to start exercising. I'm really going to start eating right. I'm going to make all these. You know, he who indulges budges. Y'all know that, don't you? So I'm going to make all these new year resolutions. And you know what happens to me? I make resolutions in one year and they go out another year, and I don't never get to do them all. I just fall back. But I thought we might get a running start tonight and get everything under control early and celebrate Christmas the right way. And let's have a Christ-filling Christmas this year. It's a wonderful, wonderful time. Have a wonderful Christmas and just celebrate the right way. Wouldn't it be good if we all celebrated the right way? Well, Christmas parallels to the Jews celebrating Passover. You see what we have in this country. The Passover was about the same as what we have Christmas for the nation of Israel, for the whole nation. It's almost totality. The whole nation was involved in the Passover, like our nation, the United States. And about our whole nation is involved in the Christmas season. Even those who believe and those who do not believe in Jesus Christ are still tied up into it at this time of the year. In the same way it was at the nation of Israel at the time of the Passover. I mean, this is when the whole country come together, and it's for a great reason. And it was celebrate, you know, this Passover. Well, you know, Christmas is a center in the Lord Jesus Christ, and Passover was also. That's what Christmas is all about. It centers in Jesus Christ. And the Passover, that's what it was. It centered in Jesus Christ. But they, you know, they overlooked him. About the Passover, these verses of Scriptures, and making Christmas application out of this Passover. So it parallels so close to our country and what we do about Christmas time and what they done about Passover. Because remember, both of these is all about Jesus Christ. You know, the Passover that the Jews celebrated, the great Passover whenever that the Lord led them out of bondage in Egypt, and the Lamb, it's all about Jesus Christ. And also our Christmas, it's about Jesus Christ. Now, these Jews in Leviticus chapter 23, if you ever read that, there's seven feast days that Moses gave the children of Israel. In fact, God gave them to them. Moses wrote them down, these seven feast days, and they had to take these feast days, and as many people could got involved in these feast days, these seven feast days of the year. But back all this up, these feast days were this Passover. These seven feast days. So everybody came together at the time of these great feasts. In Leviticus chapter 23 and 16 says, three times in a year all males shall appear before the Lord your God. They was commanded at least three times, the great feast days. One of them was the Passover. And they was commanded to come all over the nation Israel and come together at Jerusalem. Now see, that's one thing we know, that whenever Jesus Christ was crucified, I mean, there was an abundance of people because they was there for a reason. They had been commanded by the old laws of Moses to come together that time of the year. There was people everywhere. You know how the stirring of Christmas time. Passover was a great holy day for the nation of Israel and for the Jews. The same thing as our Christmas. This is one of our biggest holy days that we have. The greatest day that we have, believers and non-believers alike. And we look and see these parallels and how that they treated their of Passover, and it's all about the Lamb, Jesus Christ, and how that we treat Christmas today, and it's all about Jesus Christ. John chapter 12 and verse 12 on down for a few scriptures that we're going to read. It says, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, talking about the Passover feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, set thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughters of Zion, behold, the King cometh sitting on an ass colt. These things understood not his disciples at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remember they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him, when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead, bore record. For this cause the people met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye perceive nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. Let us go to the Lord again in prayer. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this Christmas season, what it means to each and every one of us. Lord, that we might celebrate it the right way, that Jesus will be the center of Christmas in our life, in our family life, in our home life, in our church life, and even in the nation that's called the United States, and we pray across this world. Father, thank you, Lord, for letting us be here this night and to read your word, and Father, for us to take and understand how many years ago the Jews also, and even today, they misrepresent Jesus. And Father, we pray, God, that we don't misrepresent Jesus Christ, and he's not overlooked in our Christmas. For each one of us tonight and for our church and for our families, that we'll see Jesus Christ as he should be, the center of everything and the reason. So, Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, this night to help us understand that we might have a closer loving walk with Jesus Christ is to understand what Christmas is all about. There are three warnings that I like for us to look at in these verses of scriptures, and you see the title, Celebrating Christmas the Right Way. And these three warnings, beware. Beware, beware, and for us to look and understand. Beware, you know, a superficial Christmas. Now, the Jews was having this great feast, and I said all the Jews come together, you know, at the Passover time. You know, John the Baptist, you know, he pointed to Jesus Christ now, and he says, you know, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. John the Baptist already pointed out Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said that a week before Christmas or a week before the Passover come riding down to Jerusalem now on a donkey, and they was taking palm branches and they was breaking them off, called Palm Sunday, laid them down for him to walk, for the donkey to walk on, pulling off their clothes and put down for him to walk on. John pointed to Jesus. Behold the Lamb. Now all these many, many years the Jews have been celebrating the Lamb, the Passover, that one day the Messiah would come. And millions and millions and millions of lambs have been slain throughout the past. Behold the Lamb of God that come to take away the sins of the world. See, because every year that the Jews celebrated this Passover, they knew, the Bible says, and they knew that the blood of these animals did not take away sin. It just covered them over for one more year. Just covered them over. Well, next year what happened? They had to do it again, and it covered them over. And it covered them over. And it covered them over. Their sins was never forgiven. They were just covered. Then one day, Jesus came. John the Baptist says, behold, this Lamb that I'm talking to you, important to you, is coming. Behold, he's the Lamb that take away sin. Not covers them one more year, but take away sin. John pointed him out. Never, ever been a man like Jesus. Jesus Christ was being overlooked. They was overlooking Jesus Christ at that time. He was the Messiah. He's the one that God sent his own son. But they were overlooking him and not understanding him as we do now. Did you know that Jesus Christ is overlooked and misunderstood at Christmas time as much more than any other time of the year? Not only by the world standard, not only by many, many in the United States, but by Christians ourselves. Are you guilty of not celebrating the Christmas the right way? And they left Jesus Christ out. They was overlooked. Now, people, you know, they was there for three major things. All the Jews come for that celebration. Those same reasons I see in the same thing that day that we celebrate Christmas, and the same problem as we had the day at our Christmas. One thing, all the Jews were there because of the performance that was going on in that city. As I said, they had been commanded to come. Jews all over Galilee and all over the place was coming there to Jerusalem. But they had one reason they was coming there, for the performance. Now, there was music, just like it is. You go out shopping, they singing all these songs, and there's music and everything, all the excitement, time of the year, and all the celebration that we have in that Christmas season. Same thing was going on at the Passover. All the great music and the feast days and all these festivals and all these celebrations. Man, I'm going to tell you why, that was a great time for the Jews. It's a great time for us to celebrate Christmas. All this performance going on. Families and churches, you know, look at, we see the churches and the families today. The Jews at Passover became a kind of empty form, though, of this ritual. You see, they were celebrating the Passover, but they weren't looking to Jesus. You know, we celebrate Christmas, but if we're not looking to Jesus Christ, we're doing the same thing they've done, just a form of rituals. And, you know, today the Jews celebrate the Passover, but you know what? They're not looking for the Messiah. The Jews today, they still do the same thing. They're not looking aside. And the same thing at Christmas time. Many, many people don't believe in Jesus Christ are celebrating Christmas. Did y'all know that? Bunch of people across our country. Jesus Christ that is the Messiah. Still, you see, they love the performance. Where they lost, where they saved. You know, people love the performance at Christmas time. All the music, all this great time. It's just a great time here. And people love this time of the year. All the performance going on. Same thing at that time. All this performance going on at Jerusalem at that time, but they was overlooking Jesus Christ. But then another reason, you know, is because of profit. You wouldn't believe they had profit back in them days, but, you know, Passover, at that time, you know, people was everywhere. They was going and coming. They were, I mean, you know, like it is today, hustle and bustle of Christmas time. Ladies, I don't know if you ever get everything done for Christmas, do you? You just go as far as you can and just quit. You don't ever get it. Always people that we're going and we come, we're trying to do this, trying to do that. It was the same thing at the Passover. Man, they couldn't get everything ready. They had to leave their homes, you know, and go into the cities and all the inns that was full. Every place, you know, that people had, they didn't have the motels. Same thing today. Look at the traveling, at the motels and everything, the traveling that people's going to be doing. And look at the people that's going to be eating out for restaurants and things. All this great profit. Selling food at that time at the Passover. And, you know, the supply, they supplied different things at the Passover like we see today. They supplied a sacrificial animal. You know, the people didn't have sheep or didn't have a sacrificial animal. They would make sure they had them. They would supply them. You had to give some money. Well, that's what you know that you do. You know, you go and you give money. All these old stores, this is the time of the year, you know. Same thing, all this commercialized. Well, it was commercialized there at Passover, just like Christmas is commercialized today, because they're not celebrating Christmas the right way. It's commercialized. They was doing the same thing at the Passover that we're doing today at Christmas time. All about commerce. Some they enjoy it, but you see, they enjoy mostly the profit. You know, a lot of people enjoys the profit at Christmas time more than any other time of the year. I've heard them say, you know, that I don't believe we could make it in our store, our business, or whatever is selling, if it wasn't for Christmas time. This busy season, people just going and going and coming. Go out to one of the malls. Now, I don't like to go to malls. I don't like to go shopping. I go in and I come out. I don't like to shop. But I tell you, go out to one of these malls. Man, I tell you, the merchants, man, they got everything ready for you, hadn't they? I mean, you just got to have this. They promoted now Christmas. They commercialized Christmas in our country so much that they promoted that you got to have this. That's in the minds of everybody, from little kids right on up. They promote this, that you got to have. What for? For a profit? For a profit. The same thing at the Passover. Jesus was being overlooked because of performance and because of the profit they was getting out of it. Man, I'm going to tell you what. Ladies love to shop, don't they? I thought I'd hear an amen on that, but most ladies like to shop. I'm going to tell you what, that would drain the strength out of a Superman to go shopping. Man, I don't like to go shopping. Joy's been complaining because she feels bad. I hope she can't hear me tonight. She's back in the nursery. She can't do this, she can't do that. Her legs are hurting, her feet. And you mentioned shopping, that's one of the best medicine a woman can take. Man, she's ready to go. She's ready to go shopping. I'm going to tell you. But I won't, that's a rough job. Everything is commercialized. You got to go. That's the way it is today. And the same thing, you know why? Because Jesus Christ is being overlooked. It's commercialized. And Christmas is being commercialized today. And it's the same thing it was then. But the next thing, you know, the Passover, they celebrate just for the pleasures. There was these pleasures. You know, Jewish kids, they love to come to the Passover. And they look forward to the Passover just like children at Christmas look forward to Christmas, do they not? These kids got caught up in excitement just like the kids at Christmas time too, at the Passover, what was being done. But the same crowd that was throwing palm branches down and their garments before Jesus Christ, saying, hail him, King of Kings, with the same crowd that said, crucify him a week later. Now listen, the same crowd that sings, silent night, holy night, a week later is New Year's. And the same crowd will be in the nightclubs, in the bars, and they'll have the spirits. The very same crowd is going to be singing Silent Night and Holy Night. Same crowd threw down these palm branches. Hail him, same crowd says nail him a week later. The parallel is so equal to our Christmas time that we're celebrating now because Jesus Christ was left out 2,000 years ago because of the Passover with these three things that I've mentioned. Beware of this superficial Christmas. And beware of these things because they are just as true today as they was 2,000 years ago at the Passover. It's so parallel. Beware of a self-centered Christmas. What am I going to get? What's in it for me? Read verses 20 and 21, 22. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was at Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and tell Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tells Jesus. Now they come and they wonder about this Jesus. They heard about this Jesus, you know, about Christmas time, about Jesus. And we think about this Christmas. You know, that's a wonderful time. This Passover was a wonderful time. They was looking and they didn't know all about this Passover, but they was wanting to understand about this Passover. They didn't know about this Passover. But you see, we find out that Philip began to tell them and Andrew about Jesus. Christmas time, a lot of people don't understand what Christmas time is about. A lot of people at that time, even the Jews, for hundreds of years have been celebrating this, and people have been celebrating Christmas as long as all of us can remember, and then some. But they really don't know about this Jesus and why that we really celebrate Christmas. This is a good time to tell people about this Christmas season and what it really means. It's a wonderful time. About the same as the Passover. That's a good way for people to be saved at a time for Christmas time. That's one thing in Mexico, we put the stockings together, they put these little things in about the baby Jesus was born. They tell them about the Christmas story. You know, we need to tell people about the Christmas story, about the baby Jesus. I believe down deep in every person's heart, there's a God-shaped vacuum. Now, I know they got a bunch of atheists you see on television. They don't like Christmas, and they don't want to call it a Christmas tree. They don't want to call it anything. They want Christ out of it. But, you know, they had to make themselves that way because they was born with a God vacuum in their heart. They had to be taught that they are no God. But even being saying they're not a God, there's no way you convince me that down deep in their heart, they still are searching thing about this God that the Word of God talks about. They're still searching for that. All call themselves atheists, and they want to fight against God, but they're still something. Verse 22, Philip coming and tells Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tells Jesus Christ. Now, Andrew is mentioned three times, the best I could find in Scripture, and these three times, all three times, Andrew was always bringing somebody to Jesus. Did y'all know that? I just got to think about Andrew. I don't know in the Bible, he may have, but he's not recorded no sermon that he ever preached. He never healed anybody we know of. He never preached a sermon, never wrote a book, never wrote no scriptures that we know of. But you know what he was famous in the scripture about? About bringing people to Jesus. And this was a Passover time, like the Christmas time, to tell people about Jesus. The first person he found was his brother, Simon Peter. And what to do with Simon Peter? Come on, I want to show you. And he brought Simon Peter to Jesus Christ. You know, it starts off first with your brother. It starts off with your family. You know, this is a good time of year for family to be saved, isn't it? Mothers and fathers, sisters and brothers, mothers and daddies, all of them, it's a good time. And what old Andrew done, he said he found his brother, and he brought old Simon Peter to Jesus. And look what old Peter turned out to be, preached, and you know, 3,000 got saved the day of Pentecost. And right on. And then the next time we find, the second thing, old Andrew found a little boy and had a few fishes and a loaf of bread or two. And they fed 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. He found a little boy and brought that little boy to Jesus. How are we going to feed all these people? Old Andrew says, I got it. He goes finds a little boy, and he brings that little boy to Jesus. And Jesus takes his lunch, and you know what? He blesses it, and he feeds all the multitude of people. Andrew done this, brought this little boy to Jesus. You know what? Our children over there next door, they need to be brought to Jesus. I hope most of them know the Lord, maybe all of them. But you see, there's a lot of children in our area that don't know Jesus Christ. Did y'all know that? There's a lot of children that don't know Jesus. They're celebrating Christmas. They're celebrating Christmas. They just like these children was at Passover. They don't know a thing in the world what it's all about. They got caught up in performance, and their mother and daddies, they may be the prophet or the pleasure, but they don't know nothing about Jesus. It's a good time for mothers and daddies, and you find somebody to bring them to the kids. And then you know what? He brings these Greeks there in verse 22 to Jesus Christ. Andrew brought these people. Always bringing people to Jesus. I said, it makes me ashamed of myself. And I was really scared to do this, but I said I would try it anyway, and I need to. Would you make a promise to yourself that you would try to bring someone to Jesus Christ this Christmas season? Don't raise your hand. Don't say anything. Would you make a promise to yourself that you'll try to bring someone to Jesus Christ? Try to bring someone to Jesus and say, Lord, you see, we need to give Jesus Christ some gifts. You know that? You know, he says for us to bring much fruit, not a little bit of fruit, but much fruit. And what we do to bring Jesus Christ a gift, this soul, this person, that you may lead to the Lord, or may just plant the seed. Just tell them about Jesus Christ, and you say, you know, Lord, this is my gift of this Christmas time to you, this soul that don't know Jesus. Boy, you talk about glorifying God. That would glorify God. That would be the greatest gift that you... Don't you think you ought to give Jesus Christ a gift? We give everybody else a gift. We miss it so many times, but don't you think we need to give Jesus Christ a gift? What would Jesus Christ really want from us? For us to be an Andrews? Bring his brother, bring his sister, bring his husband, bring wife, bring the children, bring his neighbor, bring friends to Jesus Christ. Thank God for Andrews of the world. Thank God for Billy Graham. Billy Graham Andrews. Did y'all know that? Every one of us here tonight could be an Andrews. Say, I ain't much I can do for Lord S.A.R. You can tell somebody about Jesus this Christmas season. And then the fourth thing, beware of a short-sighted Christmas. You know, the Greeks, they want to know more about this ritual, about this Passover. They wanted to find out about Jesus. They wanted to know more about it. So verse 23 and 24 says, And Jesus answered them. They've been asking these questions. Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. This is the Passover. They was wondering what it was. And verse 24 says, very, verily, I say unto you, except a grain of corn or a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. You know what Jesus was answering them? They didn't know what it was all about this Passover. Jesus answering them, it says, it's about me. It's about my coming death and my burial and my resurrection. That's what this Passover's about. That's what it's all about. As you think about this now, Christmas, God's plan centers in the cross and not in the cradle. Jesus Christ's life don't save anybody. It's his death. You see, you're not saved by following Jesus Christ's examples. Now, our Catholic friends believe this, that you follow Jesus Christ and his examples, and you do the work that Jesus Christ done, because he does a lot, done a lot of good work, did he not? But you cannot do the work that Jesus Christ done. You will not make it by good works. You're not saved by Jesus Christ's example. You're saved by his blood. By his blood. That's what the Passover is all about. That's what Christmas is all about. And you see, we have no record at the early church, even though they might have. They never celebrated the birth of Jesus Christ. They may have, we don't know, but there's no record of that. But the cradle and the cross must be linked together. As we're celebrating the cradle, we need to celebrate the cross also. Because the more carnal a Christian and a church becomes, the more they want to make of Christmas and less of Calvary. I'll say that again. The more carnal a Christian and also our churches become, the more carnal, the more they'll make of Christmas and less of Calvary. Santa Claus, all the Christmas trees. It's easy to get this baby mixed up with Santa Claus, is it not? Did you know Santa and Satan is spelled with the same letters? They spell with the same letters. Verse 23 says, "And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified." Christmas is about Mary had a little lamb and it was born to die. It was born to die. And we know, we see this red, all the red decorations, and neither we red, but wear red around Christmas time, and our church looks so good with all this red. But you see what? Remember all the colors at Christmas times. We need to know what the colors stand for. Just mention one tonight, the red, Jesus Christ, rich red royal blood. It's what the red stands for. That he died this Christmas season. This baby come to this world died for me. Verse 25 and 26. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall my servants be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Christmas is about, as I said, Mary and that little lamb. But now there's two things that we need to do at Christmas time to meet this title. Celebrate Christmas the right way. And there's two things we need to do. One thing in this verse of Scripture there, one thing is to glorify Jesus Christ, and the other thing is to follow him. Two things to celebrate Christmas the right way. But you know, it's hard really, if we want to do that, it's hard really to tell somebody that's who that's lost, who's saved this Christmas season, isn't it? For instance, you can take a group of people standing around, a little old dog might be in the midst of them sitting there. And you hear people talking, a little old dog sitting there. And you know what? You can look around the people and you might not know who the master of that dog is. You don't know who that dog belongs to. But when they break up and start walking away, you know what that little old dog will do? He'll follow his master. You'll know who he belongs to then. Did you all know that? You know what? If a little old dog would follow his master, it looked like that we are sheep ought to follow ours, hadn't it? We ought to follow our master. Little old dog is willing to do that, to follow his master. So the best way to have before you this night, don't forget what Christmas is all about, and beware of these things, because they happen every year. And they happen to me and they happen to you. Be careful. Celebrate Christmas the right way, to glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus. It's about the cross, not all about the cradle. Remember what that little baby, as you see it, what the little baby come to do. He come to die for you and for me and for the whole world. Lord, y'all have a good Christmas season. I like this. Every chance I get, I want to talk about Christmas. I want to talk about the cradle and the cross. It's a beautiful time. I hope someone gets saved this Christmas season. Don't y'all? Did y'all make a promise to yourself? Don't answer that. That's between you and the Lord. You know, I'm just about afraid to make a promise, because I break a lot of promises. You know, I make these resolutions. Y'all make any resolutions? Just to break them, as I say, they go in one year and out the other year. Jeremy, you have anything you'd like to put on for just a moment? We'll have a word of prayer, silent prayer. I'm working Jeremy overtime up there. So we'll bow our heads in a silent prayer this time and think about maybe the promise maybe we should have made if we didn't make. As you search your heart, as you think about the people that God maybe put upon your heart, it may be somebody that you never even thought about this week that God might put it on your heart. And I think about so many people. And we see them out in the world.